Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures Podcast. I'm Tom. As always, I'm with my wonderful, intelligent, gorgeous, very hardworking, Shanghai Disney attraction-loving wife and co-host, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everybody. Thank you, sweetie.
What is that about?
What if? It's always a question. Well, I guess that is the question, but it's always...
What if is always a question, and it is always the question.
Right, right. And it always leads to unusual things.
As does much of this show.
Exactly, is what I expect for today.
And as for today, thank you for joining us today. We are recording this episode on Sunday, March 31st, 2024. A very happy Easter to all of you who celebrate out there.
That's right. Hope you're having a wonderful time with family, friends, or just having a great day.
And we know that you are definitely listening to the Hyperion Adventures podcast during your Easter Day celebrations.
Oh, for sure. Who wouldn't?
More likely and more fittingly, you're probably listening to this on April 1st, 2024. Happy April Fool's Day,
right,
everybody. That's much more fitting for us.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Whenever you may be listening to us, we appreciate that you joined us, and we appreciate that you joined us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we are on social media. We are on Twitter at Hyperion Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventurers Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and like we often say, one, we just truly love interacting with all of you in these various ways that Tom just mentioned. But if you do want to either DM or shoot us an email with questions or topics that you'd like us to cover, we'd love to accommodate that.
Yep, we always want to know what you want to hear, what are the topics you're most interested in. Because look, this is episode 302. We have done a lot of episodes. We're always looking for new topics. Michelle does a great job of trying to come up with new topics for us all the time, but doesn't mean we can't use a little help every once in a while.
That's true.
And we, like I said, we just want to know what you want to hear.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, we want you to keep listening. So if there's something in particular that you'd like to hear about, deep dive or our impressions of things or whatever, let us know.
Let us know. We always want to hear from you, even if you just want to say hi.
That's true.
We love to hear from you. Now, before we get into this week's show, you know we like to take a look back at the week that was, because, you know, there are ups, there are downs, there are highs, there are lows, but this is the Disney podcast of positivity, which means that we like to focus on those high moments, those wonderful moments, those positive moments from the week that was. We call it My Favorite Thing from This Week. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle because she's fantastic. She's amazing. She is wonderful. She does the best research. You know, you've heard that many, many times. She has the best list. You've heard that so many more times. One thing is for certain, she always has the best My Favorite Thing from This Week as well. So let's get to it. Here is Michelle's My Favorite Thing from This Week.
Well, you're way too generous with those lovely compliments, honey. Thank you. So my favorite thing this week, actually, and I don't want to divulge, I don't want to do any HIPAA violations here or anything, but I think my favorite thing of this week, you were having some, you know, screening done. Like, we should all take care of ourselves and get our screenings. And it was just good news that everything seemed to be in order.
Seemed to be in order. Yes, we did. I did have a medical procedure this week, a scanning procedure. And yes, everything was fine. And my favorite thing from this week is the care and concern shown by Michelle.
Aww.
Taking care of me before and after that procedure. If you know about any of this procedure, you can guess what it might be, because I needed concern before and concern after. But Michelle was there for me and helped me even when I didn't really need help. She was there willing to help me as much as possible. And she did provide wonderful care, just like the nurse that she is, the wonderful, wonderful nurse that she is. So thank you.
My pleasure, honey. I'm glad it all worked out.
That was,
you're such a trooper.
That was my favorite thing from this week.
Way better than I would ever be.
And we're through that.
Yes.
And onward towards the future. And onwards towards this week's show. We have lots of stuff for you this week, including Disney Cruise Line shared updates on their next amazing ship. We'll tell you about that. Your next trip to Walt Disney World may include a ride aboard some upgraded new Disney buses.
What?
Yeah, we'll tell you what's going on with those. And marvelous new things are set to happen within It's a Small World within Tokyo Disney Resort.
Nice.
A lot of controversy on that, but we'll talk about that. And we feel one way about that, and we'll discuss why later on in the show. But that's later. Let's go ahead and get to our very questioning what if teen topic of the week. So we're this week's main topic. We decided it was high time to continue our little what if series that Michelle has come up with. You know, we love the what if series that is based on Marvel on Disney Plus. Well, this is a little bit different. If you've listened to our past episodes, our question, what if, is, Michelle?
Well, is what if attractions from other parks around the world could be transported over to the United States.
Right. And what park would they fit in? Where would they fit?
Right.
Why would you pick these attractions? Well, we're going to go through this one. And where are we focusing on this week, Michelle?
We are focusing on Shanghai Disneyland.
Ooh, lots of great stuff at Shanghai Disney. I know when it opened a few years back, we were like, wow, that looks really cool.
There are some
updated, wonderful stuff that we would love to have in the Disney parks in the U.S. And a couple things have already come, at least some sort of forms of those, including Tron has recently come to the United States at Walt Disney World. But there's still some other things I think that we could fit within Disney parks. So we're going to go over a few of those. We're not going to give a top five list because I think that would be awfully tough. But we're going to give, I think, about our best three that we think would fit within either Disneyland or the Walt Disney World resorts.
Right. I mean, we could go on and on. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go on and on.
We go on and on all the time.
I know.
Maybe this week we won't go on and on quite
exactly,
as much.
Exactly. We're trying to edit ourselves.
Fingers crossed. We'll see about that. But let's go ahead and get to it. We always start these things with Michelle because, you know, hey, her list is going to be the best list. Whatever she picks here, is, you know, Disney Imagineers, you might as well just take them and put them right in the parks right now because you know Michelle will have it nailed. So let's go ahead and get to it. Michelle, what is the first? What if Shanghai Disney attraction came to the U.S. parks?
All right. Well, funny that you should say that about, you know, the Imagineers should just do that because we have noticed on our episodes in the past things that we have talked about, whether we called it what if or any other rendition of that, sometimes things seem to very much happen that we've talked about. So who knows? But anyways, I would say one of my what ifs from Shanghai Disney is called Camp Discovery.
That's on my list too.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
See, I thought this wouldn't be on your list.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, that's not going to be on her list. That's a good one. We're probably going to copy a few of these, if not all of them. So I'm like, oh, Camp Discovery. That won't be on her list. Not a chance. That's funny.
That is funny.
I will be interested to hear where you would put it, though.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, to introduce what Camp Discovery is, they actually have created a backstory to this area in Adventure Isle. Yeah. Right. And which is kind of like an adventure land in the U.S. parks. But you're actually going on like this expedition of exploring different types of, they call it ancient tribal ruins or man-made wonders, some nature and things. But what it is, they're the rope type of of activities where you're going on different levels.
They're rope courses, right, essentially. Right. So you're you hook up and you go over these rope bridges and rope trails or whatever that kind of lead you up high above some of these wonderful spots.
Right, right. You know, and here in this land, they have some that are, you know, kind of go around like you're on the edge of this area going, you know, around this, maybe like a waterfall or fountain type thing. But just a lot, it just, first of all, it does look very beautiful. The surroundings that you're seeing, you add in that thrill part that you're actually part of, because you're, as Tom mentioned, you're roped in, you're strapped in. It's not like a suspension bridge that you're just walking across. You're actually kind of doing some other more challenging maneuvers. And so I think that is really cool. If you're not quite able to do the rope course, they do also have at ground level a vista trail that you can walk through and see the landscape and see a lot of the same sites, but just from ground level, that you're not having to do that. But you know, I just like that idea of adventure and seeking out different wonders in the world and everything. And I actually think this would fit very nicely, like at Tom Sawyer's Island. Mm. You know,
they already have a small aspect of that. Not quite, right. You know, the rope, but they do have like the floating bridge and right. some other things that you can walk across and some interesting fun stuff that exactly. you can do there. Yeah.
And I think that's why I would put this here, because you have that is definitely good for kids of all ages right now at Tom Sawyer's Island. But this would have something that would be a little bit more challenging. So whether you're talking, you know, maybe something of more interest to teens and tweens, you know, as well as adults, etc. But something that does have that element of challenge to it. And I think to pull it off with a lot of success, obviously it would require a lot of building up, because mm-hmm. I think part of this is being at the at a higher level and going to different levels. So, I mean, we've done a similar course actually on a cruise ship. It was not a Disney cruise ship, but we've done that. And, you know, it is challenging. It is something that can add a little bit more excitement to mm-hmm. that as an attraction.
You know where else we've done something similar?
Where's that?
That would be at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, which is where I would put this.
Oh, yeah.
We've done the Wild Africa Trek, which does include a couple of like rope type bridges
right.
over like Crocs for one thing or whatever.
Yes.
And that's, I think that this would fit perfectly within Animal mm-hmm. Kingdom Park to kind of give that other view of some of right. the animals out there. I mean, I know that Disney obviously wants to sell the Wild Africa Trek, so right. maybe they wouldn't be willing to put it in there. But I think it'd be a really fun adventure for a lot of people there to be able to do this. Going back to what the description is from the one at Shanghai Disney. So there's three different courses. One that takes you to the eighth wonder of the world, of course, the backside of water. Now there's the Hidden Falls Chamber, which you get to journey behind a waterfall and into some caverns and stuff. There's mm-hmm. Echo Cavern, where you get to go through a perilous river gorge, see some magnificent rock carvings, and another spot that they call the House of the Ancients. That's just kind of an excavation type area. But also they have a trail there. Like if you're, you know, this is, you know, going up high and going on these rope bridges may not be for everybody, but they also have what's they called the Vista Trail. Yeah. Which Michelle mentioned about, that takes you already on these treks. So it fits for everybody. And
right.
I think that would be a great way for, you know, you already have some of those trails that go through Gorilla Falls and
True.
So forth within Animal Kingdom Park. Why not have that part and then maybe have something up above where you can kind of get a, you know, one, get some more adventure.
Right.
And, you know, get a different view of some of these animals.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of fun to do it.
Interesting. That. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that too.
Yeah. I think both would fit. Both
right.
would work. And I'd love to see both come to Walt Disney World Resort.
Right. Yes. Agreed. Well, that was cool. And that was cool that we both had that one.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
I thought, sure. I'm like, this is the one that she won't have. So good.
So. Okay. So what's one that you have that wasn't that?
Well, all right. So, well, I'm just going to go with one of my favorite things, and it's brand new at Shanghai Disney, and I think that we desperately need it here because we love Zootopia.
Yeah.
And Zootopia looks amazing within right. Shanghai Disney. I think Zootopia, the whole entire land, I'd love to see the entire land, but the attraction especially, Hot Pursuit, would be so fun. I think it would fit really, really well, kind of as a connection, maybe somewhere off of maybe Toy Story Land within Disney's Hollywood Studios, somewhere mm-hmm. in that kind of back area.
Right.
I think that transition there would be kind of fun. And some people will say, why not put it in Animal Kingdom right. Park? I know that they're planning on doing something with the Tree of Life right now in the theater there, where It's Tough to Be a Bug is mm-hmm. currently. Mm-hmm. They're going to, looks like they're changing that over to a Zootopia. And so, yeah, I mean, animals with pants, it's fun. And I think it's cool, but I don't, and I could see it fitting there, but I think it would fit better within Disney's Hollywood Studios. Personally, I also think if you wanted to do it bi-coastal, that it would fit really well in Disney California Adventure Park too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, I kind of figured you were going to have that one. So I was like, I'd probably should shy away from having that one on my list, but I, you know, certainly did do some research on it. You know, first of all, the land, like you said, it is very immersive. I think to me, it seems about as immersive as Cars Land did, you know, looks at Disney California Adventure Park.
Maybe even more so, because there's things that, I mean, not that there aren't things that happen in Cars Land,
right.
but there's a lot of things that the windows,
right.
and some,
yeah,
you know, characters that will pop. Yes.
yes.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I still think Cars Land holds the immersive feeling that you recognize the film. So you're recognizing because that one road in the film is most iconic. But I do think in Zootopia at Shanghai Disneyland is you do recognize the things that you see in the film as well. And this ride that they have, the main attraction there, Zootopia Hot Pursuit, does sound really cool. I mean, it does seem like it takes a lot of the technology that they've used in like Rise of the Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and having that trackless system mm-hmm. that brings you through. It does look like they've also added a lot more of the type of sceneries I think that you see like at Universal that makes you feel like you're going really fast mm-hmm. and you're really barely moving and things like that. So I think they've really incorporated a lot of great stimulation of your senses in that attraction to make it seem extraordinary.
And they have some great audio animatronics mm-hmm, in that mm-hmm. as well. It looks amazing. I can't wait to check it out for myself, but I'd love to make it easy on us and just be able to travel maybe about an hour right. and 15, hour and 20 minutes away and go check it out on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the whole town looks like it's just so spectacular.
And there is rumors that Disneyland Forward, maybe Zootopia might be part of that.
Right.
I don't know if it would be exactly what we're talking about at Shanghai Disney, but that could be an extreme possibility
right.
as part of it.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, when they, you know, are addressing the issues of the things that they are wanting to implement through Disneyland Forward over it on the West Coast is the fact that there isn't room currently to add more of these high tech experiences that guests could have. So they need to look to find more areas to do that, you know, because one of the things about the original Disneyland is you do too much disruption there, and it really doesn't feel good to a lot of people who love that original mm-hmm. authentic park.
Yeah, I understand
yeah.
completely. But, yeah. And that's why it'd be part of either a new land, a new gate at Disneyland, or an expansion, which, you know, they're trying to figure out what exactly where they're going to
right.
Place new things. But things are coming to Disneyland, and it's exciting.
Yes, yeah. yes.
All right, so back to the real list. Let's get back to the real items that we want from Shanghai Disney over in one of the U.S. parks. Michelle, what is your next what if Shanghai Disney attraction came to the U.S.?
Okay, my next what if attraction would be the Once Upon a Time Adventure, which is actually inside the castle. Now, first of all, the Enchanted Storybook Castle is the largest Disney Castle in all of the parks. So they do have a lot that they offer that you access through this castle. But this one, I really love how they provide people the opportunity, like we talked about a few episodes ago, to be a part of the story. So what it is you go in, it is a walkthrough ride or walkthrough attraction, but I actually think it would be great also as a ride. I think they could utilize a lot of the same technology and features of that through a ride type of scenario. Kind of reminded me of how they originally thought Haunted Mansion would be a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, is this like a precursor to a ride? But anyways, what it is, now, when you're going through this walkthrough before the main part of it, you are seeing nods to all the princesses, which is one of the things I think that makes the castle unique there, is that it's not just like one princess's castle. It does incorporate...
They're all represented.
Yeah, they're all represented. But this particular attraction really focuses on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which is the first Disney film and one of the first Disney products that was ever introduced in China too. Mm-hmm. So has some history to that. But what's really cool is when you go through this walkthrough attraction, you come up to the magic mirror, and man, is that thing ever cool looking. How, you know, it's well, actually before that, you're actually seeing this book, a storybook. And the only way I can describe it is it really literally comes to life. It is changing as you're watching it, and it comes up with 3D effects and everything. It's really beautiful. But then you go to the magic mirror from Snow White, and with a little bit of introduction of the story, the magic mirror invites you into through a portal to Snow White's fairy tale world. And I just think, again, the technology or the magic that they use really is incredible. Mm-hmm. in sharing this story. And then you follow a trail of pixie dust, you know, that kind of flies through the air that guides you throughout this story. And you do have chances to interact with some of the, you know, like the little animal creatures that help Snow White in cleaning the house and things like that, or cleaning the Seven Dwarfs cottage. And, you know, you get to see the Evil Queen and everything. It's just, it is breathtaking how they tell that story, but that you're actually within that world.
Yeah, the magic they're able to use to make those effects come to life there. It's pretty impressive from what I've seen.
Yes.
And I agree with you. It looks spectacular. It looks like a fun walkthrough attraction that you can really get immersed within and really kind of live some of this story. I'd be okay with that appearing.
Yeah.
Where would you place it exactly?
I think it could fit in any fantasy land, whether it's, you know, over in Florida or in California. And I know that California did do some upgrades to their storytelling with Snow White, and I think they did a relatively great job at that. You know, I think this is maybe plussing it a bit more. But I do think it would fit into, like I said, either of those fantasy lists.
Very nice. I like it.
Mm, thank you.
I like it. Good choice.
Thank you very much.
Michelle's lists, always the best list.
Well, 30% so far of yours is the same. So, all right. So what's your next second?
So my next one, well, I'll just go ahead and add a new one in here because we've kind of copied one. So I have another one after this one, but okay. I'll go ahead and go with this one here. Because it was kind of an honorable mention, but I'll throw it in just in case. I think that, so there's an attraction. They actually have it not only at Shanghai Disney, but they also have it at Disneyland Paris as well. And that is Rex's Racer. Now, what that is it's kind of like, just think of it as a Hot Wheels track, but it only has like, it's a U shape.
Right.
And then RC, you know, the remote control car is in there in the middle, and it goes up and back down and up and back down. So if you kind of think of those swinging kind of, they used to do like pirate ship swings, right, or some other thing. So you kind of get that weightless feeling as you go up one side and then back the other or whatever. It's just kind of fun. And I think, you know, why not have another attraction in Toy Story Land? I think it would be a lot of fun. Yeah. It would take some of the excitement and add it to there. So maybe some people, you know, I mean, look, we love, of course, Slinky Dog Dash. It's fantastic attraction. Alien Swirling Saucers, it's all right. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. But man, to, you know, have something else in there that would be bring excitement, maybe take some of the, you know, add another attraction to Disney's Hollywood Studios, which I believe needs more attractions anyways. But then also, you know, add another exciting attraction to that land to take some of the people maybe away from Slinky Dog Dash and have some excitement there. I think it would be a lot of fun. That's I think it would fit perfectly. Right. And I think people would kind of dig it.
Exactly. I like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was an honorable mention for me, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway, just because we've already copied each other on Camp Discovery.
So. Right.
And I think it would work. I think it would be great. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Michelle would never go on it, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
It's not my thing. No. But I do agree with you that it definitely would be a good addition to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. For sure.
So let's get back to the real list here. Let's go back with Michelle. What you got for us for your What If Shanghai Disney Attractions Came to the U.S. Parks?
All right. So I have one. I think it's probably on yours. So I do also have an honorable mention to include afterwards. But and this is a similar concept to what's at other parks, but their Pirates of the Caribbean Battle for the Sunken Treasure, I think, looks incredible. You know, they, in terms of storytelling, they're focusing more on like what the films were, which is funny because the films were based on what the ride was. It's kind of full circle, but definitely inclusive of more of that type of storytelling, but again, using a lot more technology than what the other Pirates of the Caribbean type of attractions that are currently in the United States. They've really upped it, upped the game there. And I think it just looks so incredible and amazing. I still like the original, so it would be kind of, I don't want to say necessarily replace it, but maybe this would be good in Disney Hollywood Studios because it is based on films and things. So have something that is a little bit different, maybe not as kiddie-ish theming, not that it's adult theming, but still a little bit more elevated, and have that there.
I'll say it, replace it. Take it right out of Walt Disney World, not the Disneyland one. The Disneyland one is the superior version in the United States. However, look, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Doesn't matter if it's Disneyland, doesn't matter if it's Magic Kingdom, but it's not as good at Magic Kingdom. Take that one right out and put in Pirates of the Caribbean Battle for the Sunken Treasure right there. As a matter of fact, add the whole shipwreck shore area that they have there and make it an entire pirate's land. I know that the reason why the Magic Kingdom version is because it was almost an afterthought that they didn't put it in because they thought you can experience pirates within Florida everywhere. We don't need Pirates of the Caribbean there. And then people started showing up at Magic Kingdom. We're like, where's Pirates of the Caribbean?
Right.
And it wasn't there. So they kind of threw it in later. And that's why it's not as good. It's like I said, not necessarily an afterthought, but kind of like that. So why not, you know, take it and make it even better. Make it amazing. Make it as wonderful as Walt Disney World is and make this amazing attraction that we've seen even from the beginning when they were first publicizing Shanghai Disney. They would show these trailers, these videos of what Sunken Treasure, the Battle for the Sunken Treasure was going to be like. And it's just like, wow, that's incredible. That's taking pirates to the next level.
Right.
Why not do that in Magic Kingdom? I would love to see that happen. Yeah, I understand where you want it. It's nostalgia. I get it. I understand it. But I would love to see this as suddenly it would be, if not on par with what Disneyland has, it might blow Disneyland's Pirates of the Caribbean away.
Oh yeah, I think it would blow it away. Because again, similar to what I was saying about some of this other techniques used in Zootopia Hot Pursuit, again, you're very much immersed with these larger than life sceneries. Yes, they do have audio animatronics as well, but I think they're also using a lot of other techniques to really make you feel that you're inside that film.
Yeah, I agree. So. I it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I want to experience it. If Shanghai is the only place we can experience it, then we got to get to Shanghai. But I just think it would be wonderful right there in that spot. And again, I think the whole, make that an immersive pirate area,
right?
Just like they have at Shanghai, because they did a fantastic job of making that area. And the dining establishment within it too, just like, you have one at Disneyland, you have one at Disneyland Paris, you have one at Shanghai Disney. I'd love to see a pirate dining establishment right within the attraction as well.
True.
Because I just think it's so much fun, and we've had some wonderful experiences at both Blue Bayou. And I'm sorry, the name of the one that's in Disneyland Paris escapes me now, but that one too.
Right.
We have some very, very fine memories.
Exactly.
Eating in both those restaurants.
That is a good point. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, they could, the other thing that they have in that land at Shanghai is an actual pirate ship that you can do, again, a walkthrough that you can go and see different things on this pirate ship. And there are some hands-on things. It's really cool, circular table map that moves and that you can move and stuff like that. So they do have a lot of cool things in that as well. And, I think throwing in some little shows here and there, but make it maybe a little bit bigger and, have some more activities as well.
I mean, if you think about the park and that area back there, there just isn't much there.
Right.
It seems like a perfect area to try and, develop. Yes, it's going to take several years to, to get that done.
But right.
To just develop that into an entire pirate area as you transfer into there. And, and now that you have Tiana's Bayou Adventure coming there too, it kind of ties into the, you're going from Adventureland into the pirate area and then into, Disneyland, like the New Orleans Square type of space.
I think it would
kind of work really cool as a transition.
It'd be funny if D23 announces something similar to this.
Well, they're listening right now. they're writing.
They're writing it down oh no, we only have until August to come up with this. All right, so now we're at your number three.
Well, that was it. I agree with you. That was going to be my last one. So I went through four, actually, with ones that we've tied with. So let's just go ahead and go back to your honorable mention. Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned in the castle, they have a lot of things that you can access, whether it be restaurants, bippity-boppity, and the adventure walkthrough. But they also have what's called Voyage to the Crystal Grotto. And this is a little boat ride. I'm not saying it's super impressive, but it is beautiful. It is nice. So you're in a boat, and you're going through canals similar to It's a Small World, for example. What you're seeing are different scenes from films, which Disneyland has had something similar, as well as Disneyland Paris, where
The storybook canal.
Canals that you're seeing a snapshot. Here, instead of a miniature of that film represented, it's more a scene with fountains. So I think and lights, it's especially beautiful at night. You're outdoors and you're seeing the lights, and you're also seeing the lighting in the park and the castle lit up, etc. So I do think it has some elements of being just beautiful. I could see it being a place that you would go after you've been on your feet for a long time and you want to just take a nice leisurely boat ride. But I do think that they use really nice techniques with water displays and lighting and music that capture a lot of the scenes from films, Aladdin, Mulan, and Beauty and the Beast, etc. So I think it would really be nice to add. And in terms of placement, I would say, again, going back to Fantasyland at Walt Disney World, since they already have the storybook canals over at Disneyland in California, I think this would be something that would be somewhat comparable. but a little bit more elevated in some regards to that.
Yeah, I think, and I agree with you on that attraction. I thought about putting it on my list. It didn't make it, but I thought about putting it on my list because it does seem like that. It does seem like what we've seen a lot from some of these attractions within Shanghai Disney, and that is that they've taken something that is wonderful on its own, like the storybook canal boats in Disneyland Paris, and they've elevated it and made it even better. And I think that that would be a really nice addition to Magic Kingdom for sure. I think that that would fit there perfectly. You know, again, Disneyland, you kind of the nostalgia of keeping the original there, and it's outside and it's nice and you know, I and they do light it up at night, you know, so you can go and see it all lit up, but it's not the same. But I do think that that would be a wonderful addition. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I mean, I think it could also fit into Epcot, you know, where you have already like the land, the Living Seas, Moana area. It could possibly not physically fit in there. I don't think there's space to it, but that theme could also possibly be there as well. It's tying in stories and nature.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But I think Magic Kingdom, to me, personally, fits better.
Yeah, I think because it's going through different film genres of different animated films.
Well, I mean, for that matter, I mean, couldn't it work in Disney's Hollywood Studios? Since you're talking about films, it can be, you know, going through animated films.
That's right.
And kind of looking at it that way.
Right,
maybe it works there as well. You know, I mean, I know that Hollywood Studios has gotten away a little bit from the Hollywood aspect of what it once was. But, you know, I mean, I think that'd be an interesting way to kind of bring that back a little bit in some way, shape or form.
True.
So either way, I think those are all great attractions. There are a few others that I think could fit as well, but I think we've hit a pretty good list. A lot of the stuff they have there is very similar to things we have here. Right. They have a version of the teacups that is actually Pooh's honey pots.
I know, it's so cute.
Which the honey pots are the things that spin instead of the teacups. I think it's interesting. Like Disneyland Paris, they have a Wonderland maze, essentially, that I think would also be something that would be fun to go through, whether it be at Disneyland or at Magic Kingdom or something.
Or again, Hollywood Studios.
Yeah,
I know. What's really interesting about that one is they kind of have representation from both the original animation from the 50s as well as the updated live action ones in the 2000s. So I kind of think that was neat how they played both of those into that.
Yeah. And I would love to try that because I love the Paris Disneyland maze. It's one of my favorite simple attractions I think I've ever been to in a park. You know, it's just so basic and there's really not much to it. It's a maze.
Right.
You know, you walk through it, but it's cool. You come around corners and there's a, you know, some sort of statue or, you know, of a character or some sort of scene or whatever from in Alice in Wonderland. There's like an elevated spot that you can go up and kind of oversee and see people walking through the maze and stuff. It's really cool. And I think I really would love to see it in the U.S. parks somewhere. I'd really like to see a version of that or something along those lines somewhere. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Right.
That's something I could see fit in Epcot. You know, around the UK pavilion somewhere. Anyway,
cool.
Lots of great stuff. We're going to continue on. We have more parks to hit, but we'd love to know, what do you think? What would you love to see come from Shanghai Disney and be in the U.S. parks? Where would they fit? Did we get some of ours right? Do you think they would fit better in other spots? Let us know, and we'll talk about it on an upcoming show.
Exactly.
So much good stuff going in the parks around the world that we'd love to see here in the United States. But of course, it's just kind of cool that, you know, it also entices us that much more to travel abroad, maybe, and, you know, and check out some of these Disney parks around the world.
That's a good point. But like you were saying too, with Disneyland Forward, I think that we're going to be, you know, starting to hear more and more exciting things. I like you had mentioned weeks ago, D23, I think it's going to be phenomenal about what the parks announcements are going to be. You know, following through with Disney's commitment to be spending billions of dollars to enhance park or guest experience through parks, through the cruises, et cetera. We've already seen a lot of exciting things either start or be announced. And I think we're going to be experiencing more things here in the U.S. that will be comparable to what some of the newer features are at other worldly Disneys.
Yeah, I've even seen a quote just within the last couple of days from Bob Iger. And I forget where exactly it came from. I just saw it in stories, through social media or whatever. But he said that basically to this point was kind of a fixing point and mm-hmm. fixing phase. And now they're going to shift into a building nice. Phase. That should tell you all you need to know about what's going to be
right.
The announcements that may be coming out of D23 this year. And so, and by the way, congratulations to everybody that were able to. I know it was difficult for everybody out there, but congratulations to all of you that landed tickets to D23 this year. And for those of you that missed out, I'm so sorry. And but know that they will probably end up live streaming a lot of that stuff that you would have missed. You would have seen there anyway. So you can kind of, even though you're not going to be there and experience the positive energy and everything, there still will be ways to enjoy it. And, you know, the main part of this is that eventually what they announce is going to come to fruition out there at the parks.
Exactly. And you know, again, we understand, you know, we like going to cons, you know, and getting dressed up and get, like you said, feeling that excitement in the air. And so, we understand we're not going this time, but it's still, like you said, you can have your own kind of like celebration at home and watch it streamed on, get some of the excitement.
And I'll tell you, even though we were never planning on going, I had a lot of FOMO on those days, the tickets, even with all the troubles, I was still having FOMO. Like, I wish I was getting involved and trying to land these tickets and, you know, getting seats and everything. But we knew going in, we weren't going to do it this year. Just too much stuff going on, but we're excited for everybody out there. And again, we're still looking for a correspondent. Anybody who happened to land tickets and is going, we'd love to have a correspondent that would be out there at D23.
Yeah, give some reports. Yeah,
tell us all about what you experienced, because we know what it's like. We've been, we know how much fun it can be and how amazing it can be. And so we'd love to experience that through you.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, before we get to the Disney stories of the week, you know, we need to talk about our great friend Nate with Main Street and More Travel, because let's face it, we all have trips we're thinking about taking in the very near future. Well, if you do, whether it be to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, or anywhere in the world beyond, let me tell you, Nate is the certified Disney vacation planner that you are going to want to get in contact with.
Oh my gosh, for sure. You know, as we, you know, mention all the time, he really has firsthand knowledge of things, so he can really help you plan, customize a trip that is going to be the best for you, answer your questions. It's really concierge level planning that doesn't cost you anything.
High end. It is high end stuff that he will help you out with, answer all your questions. He is there for you to make sure your trip, wherever it may be the best it possibly can be. And as Michelle mentioned, no extra cost to you. That's because either Disney or whatever other travel branch that he works through pays him for you. What you end up paying is exactly what you pay. If you did all that work yourself, only you can save that time and just relax and enjoy and let him set it all up for you.
Right. And you know what? He may even be able to save you some money from you doing it alone, because he is on top of all the deals and steals that are out there.
Yeah. And there's never a guarantee, but let me tell you, if there's a discount out there, Nate will find it for you. So what you got to do is go to DizChipsAndMore.com, fill out the form there, and just contact him. Talk to him. Tell him what you want to do and let him get to work for you.
Right. So as Tom mentioned, once you fill out that form, Nate will be back in touch with you to start that planning. But be sure to tell him that Tom and Michelle sent you.
Yeah. Again, that's Nate with Main Street and More Travel. All right. Let's go ahead and get to those Disney stories of the week. I do have a few for you this week. Not as many as last week. Like last week was insane. This week, I was able to dig up a couple things. Nothing huge, nothing super, you know, overwhelming, super exciting, but still,
yeah.
Disney news is always fun and exciting. Right. And I'm going to start with Disney Cruise Line shared updates on their next amazing ship. This came from the Disney Parks blog that said, a few weeks ago, Meyer Werft Shipyard was bustling with activity when the Disney Treasure was set afloat for the first time. Water from the Ems River was pumped into the building dock where the ship is being constructed, lifting the hull from the floor of the chamber. The shipyard team was then able to guide the Disney Treasure to a new location where it would undergo the next phase of construction. Why was the Disney Treasure moved? Well, that was because the team needed to make room for the Disney Destiny, which we mentioned last week's show, the ship that will be coming afterwards, after the Disney Treasure. It's the sister ship of the Disney Wish and the Disney Treasure. This milestone is an exciting moment for everyone at Disney Cruise Line and Walt Disney Imagineering, signifying continued progress on the Disney Treasure and celebrating the ongoing expansion of the fleet. The Disney Treasure and the Disney Destiny will soon be next to each other in the shipyard, marking an unprecedented era of growth for Disney Cruise Line. And boy, it's incredible. As I mentioned last week, Disney Wish came out in 2023.
Right.
The Disney Treasure is coming out later this year. The Disney Adventure is coming out in 2025. And so is the Disney Destiny.
Yeah,
they're doubling their fleet in just that time period from 2023 through the end of 2025.
Yeah. And it's an incredible, incredible, like you said, addition. And I cannot believe all the exciting things that they keep adding to these ships and makes everybody want to try all of them.
Yeah. And I think it's so funny because here we are and we knew this was coming, but we're like, oh, we're finally excited because we just sailed on the Disney Dream that completed. We had sailed on all the Disney ships that are afloat now. And then come here at the end of 2024 and just through 1 year of 2025, there'll be three new ships that we will not have sailed yet.
I know.
It's like, oh, man. I'm sure we'll get aboard the Treasure. I'm sure we'll get aboard the Destiny. The Adventure might be a little tougher because that's going to Indonesia, I believe, is where it's going to be ended up. It's going to Asia.
Yes.
So it might be a little bit more difficult to get out there. But we talked about, you know, traveling to go see these Asian Disney parks like Shanghai Disney. Maybe we combine it. I guess we will have to. If we were going to sail, it's like we'll go out there, hit the theme parks, hit the Adventure.
Right.
You know, do the whole thing up really big sometime. But either way, it's exciting news for everybody, especially those of you who love Disney Cruise Line or ever thought about doing a Disney cruise.
Yes. If you've never done a Disney cruise, it is guest experiences on steroids. It's just a lot of fun and so much variety of things to do and all sprinkled with pixie dust.
Oh, yeah. It's that Disney feeling that you get only get, but it's on board a Disney cruise.
Yes.
It's so
talk about
nice.
Immersive.
So nice. So fun. It's home to me. I love being on board a Disney cruise. That's for sure. Now, moving on, your next trip to Walt Disney World may include a ride aboard some upgraded new Disney buses.
What?
Yeah. This actually comes from our great friend, Nate, from DisTripsAndMore.com. He wrote this up on his blog, which if yes, of course, he's a wonderful certified Disney vacation planner, but he also gives out some wonderful news out there on his blog that's attached to this site. So you might want to check it out from time to time. But he said, there's something new to add to your list of Disney must-sees and experiences. He said, I'm talking about the arrival of 90 brand spanking new buses to the Walt Disney World fleet. And let me tell you, they're not just any buses. These beauties are set to transform how guests travel from one magical experience to another. He says, the fleet has been jazzed up with brand new wraps featuring beloved characters from fan favorite films like Zootopia. We already talked about how much we love Zootopia and Ratatouille. But here's the real kicker. The feature that truly sets these buses apart is the Q-Strength Quantum system. This isn't just an upgrade. It's a revolution in transportation accessibility. The Quantum system is the first of its kind in the transportation industry, offering a fully automatic rear-facing wheelchair securement station, So what does this mean for guests? It means independence, safety, and a seamless experience. Mobility passengers can now secure themselves in less than 25 seconds with just a push of a button, requiring minimal assistance from the drivers. This is a big win for inclusivity and independence, ensuring all guests can enjoy the magic of Disney World with ease.
Nice.
Yeah, really, I mean, I think
great.
It's...
That is great.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is important for many things. Obviously, it's good for... You know, everybody who has these issues that, you know, has these accessibility issues that, one, you don't feel like you need to be, you know, everybody needs to help you every time you get on the bus.
Right.
And you know, you can get on there and get this secured and get this done quickly and smoothly.
Right.
And it helps keep the bus drivers from having to, you know, pause everything, stop down, bring up all of these, find the space for everybody, attach everybody in. So that opens it up, and it's going to make, you know, some of these bus trips that much more quick, happening more quickly.
Right.
Because of the fact that it won't take quite as long for people with mobility issues to be loaded on these. And that's just good for everybody, not just them.
Right, right. For sure. You know, and I know that, you know, currently right now, what it is, at least it is a convenience that is present. So that is good for right now. But this, like you said, I'm sure there are some people who, when they are needing that assistance, because you also see sometimes people who they're not using their own equipment. They may have rented something and not as familiar with how to maneuver it. And you can tell that they feel uncomfortable or self-conscious. So anything that can alleviate those negative feelings and make the experience for them just as positive for other people is a win.
Yeah. Inclusivity.
Yes.
It's all about the inclusivity key. You know, make it even as much as you can for everybody involved. Make it equal. And, you know, obviously it's different, but the fact that you can be more in control yourself, that's got to be a win for everybody.
Right.
So that's great news. The buses are set to start rolling out across Walt Disney World in 2024, with some already making their debut on the road. So keep an eye out for them. Plus, we always love it when we see a new wrap on the buses.
Yes.
I mean, yes, this is great. But we also like, oh, look, that's such and such bus. You know, there's the Coco bus.
Yeah.
And there's
I've never seen that design before. Yeah. Yes.
It's always fun. And when you get one, we're like, oh, we got the Zootopia bus.
Right.
Oh, cool. That's nice. Yeah, I like that a lot. Excited for
sure, you know. And we, you know, in a previous episode where we talked about some of the benefits of staying at a Disney property, this will add to that, because again, transportation is such a big perk of how well Disney does it so seamlessly. I know a lot of times we feel like, oh man, we just missed the bus and now we got to wait 20 minutes, but that still is so much better than having to rely on transportation that may only be going to and from your off-property hotel maybe once or twice a day.
Yeah, it can be at some of them, you don't get a lot of chances to make those transportations from the off-site hotels. So having that benefit when you're staying at a Walt Disney World resort is amazing.
Right.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I think it's an underrated perk.
Yes.
It's an underrated part.
Agreed.
Yeah. So moving on to our next story, and it's a somewhat controversial one, but I'm going to tell you how we feel here in a moment. Marvelous new things are set to happen within It's a Small World within Tokyo Disney Resort. This comes from Scott Gustin on Twitter, who is a great follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for Disney stories, he's one of the first to post them regularly, and he posts them all. So check him out. You can find him at Scott Gustin on Twitter. He said, It's a Small World with Groot, featuring characters from Marvel Studios, is coming to Tokyo Disney Resort in winter of 2025. The layover is expected to stick around for at least 6 months. This will mark the first appearance of Marvel characters at Tokyo Disney Resort. Marvel will also make its debut at the resort during an upcoming projection show set to debut in September. Now, short story, yes, but I think this is really interesting. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, what are they doing to It's a Small World? And I'm just going to pause right there. And I get it. It's a small world. It's a classic. Why do they need to put IP in there? But I'm telling you, if you've ever gone to Disneyland, they put IP in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not Marvel. It is, you know, regular Disney stories IP. Just think about the regular animated series, and they fit within their various countries there. But if you ever have been there with a young child and see them light up when they say, there's Ariel.
Right.
Or there's Alice. Or there's Nemo and Dory.
Right.
You know, there's Moana.
Yeah,
there's
they get Little so excited. Mom, look.
They get so excited for it. And I think sometimes we need to pause and think about, you know, what this is really, who this is really for.
Right.
And that is the kids out there. They love it. We've experienced, and I'm not just talking once, multiple times. They will pick out those characters right. within this attraction and get such joy out of it. And you can't help but feel the joy coming from them in your boat when that happens.
Yeah.
And so if this has a little bit of that, I think it's exciting and I think it's fun. And yes, I get it. Nostalgia. You don't think you need to have IP and everything, but I still think this is fun and wonderful. And I think the children are going to love it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not changing the entire course of the attraction. It's just adding some touches here and there. And, you know, puts, like Tom said, in describing this, it puts new, fresh eyes when you're within a boat and you hear this happening around you. You're like, oh yeah, I take for granted some of these fun things. And having been on the Marvel Day at Sea cruise and seeing how many small kids really get into the superheroes, love it, love them. I think this is going to be a fun addition to see from time to time within the attraction as well.
And you know they're going to make them cute.
Right.
You know, I mean, one, of course, it's with Groot. So Groot, right. You know, I'm sure it's going to be baby Groot. You know,
yes.
So he's going to be cute as can be. But then I'm sure there'll be the cute Marvel characters, a cute version of Black Panther,
right.
A cute version of Iron Man, a cute version of Spider-Man, whatever they put in there.
Right.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, I think that, you know, especially that there's going to be a lot of kids that are just going to get a lot of joy out of it. And that's what it should be about anyway.
Right. For sure.
We don't have a problem with it. I'll just say, I know some people do.
Right.
We do not.
Right. And, you know, obviously no feeling is wrong. You know, we're just expressing because
this is how we feel about
right,
it.
Because we have experienced some of the things of watching the joy of other kids, seeing some of these IP examples within an attraction. We've experienced that. But we also recognize and are not judging against people who may not feel similarly. You're entitled to that.
Absolutely. Everybody's entitled to your
yep.
own opinion.
Yep.
For sure.
We get why some, you know, how change is difficult and how some original feelings that you've experienced as a child, you want to see that remain. So we get it.
Yeah. So am I. No, it's all good. You know, just because we like something and you don't like something, we're not going to judge you on it.
Right,
It's your feelings. And
right.
We are respectful of everybody's feelings.
Exactly.
Here. No opinion is necessarily right and no opinion is necessarily wrong.
Exactly.
So that's it for this week's Disney Stories of the Week. Much shorter than last week. However, we never leave you without giving you some sort of tip that might help you on your next vacation. When we do this, we always start with Michelle because she's wonderful, fantastic, all things great in the world. You know, she has the best lists. You just heard it a little bit ago. She definitely does the best research. You've heard that many, many times. One thing is absolutely for certain, 100%, she always has the very best tips. So let's get to it. Here is Michelle's tip of the week.
Oh, you're just so kind, sweetie. So my tip has to do if you are traveling with little ones and you still feel safer with them having side rails and you're staying at a Disney resort, you can request to have side rails in the room. You could either call in advance to the hotel reservation line and make that request, or you can just ask at the front desk upon arrival. And that way, if it's something that you feel is going to make your stay even more enjoyable, having side rails available for your kiddies, then they're going to offer it for
you. It's not a bad thing because, I mean, some of the kids, sometimes you're fitting a couple kids in a bed, you know, or
right.
whatever, and they're going to, they are maybe are going off to the side a little
right.
bit. You don't want them falling off of the floor.
Right,
the floor.
The pull-down ones that are like the side view ones.
Yeah.
You might just feel like, hey, I want to make sure I'm not being woken up in the middle of the night of a child on the floor. Or that
your child's going to fall out of the bed and hurt themselves. Yeah. I mean, you know, none of that is good and shouldn't happen on your vacation. And so it's good to know. Yeah. It's definitely important.
Just ask.
Michelle's tip, always the best tip. For my tip this week, I'm still living in the afterglow of our last Disney cruise, and so I'm going to talk another thing about Disney cruise, and I think Michelle has brought this up at another point way back when, but I'm going to bring this up because I think we noticed this a lot on our Disney cruise this last time, and I think we were wishing we did something similar this time. We've done something kind of like this in the past. It used to be that you could go and take like a book or a note or a, you know, a mat for a picture or whatever, and bring it up to guest services, and they would have the characters all sign it and deliver it back to your cabin at some point. But that's gone away for years now. That doesn't exist anymore. Right. But you still can have characters sign things like that. Of course, you can have your autograph book or whatever. They sell them. You can make your own. There are lots of great ones out there, and that's great. But why not have some sort of keepsake that maybe like a matting for what could be a photo that you get taken on the cruise that's signed by lots of characters. Well, you can bring that with you when you have these plans to meet these characters and have them signed. And there were lots of great possibilities for this to happen. They list them within the app every day of when you can actually have set times to meet characters. But there also are some things that you can schedule ahead of time so you're not having to carry this thing around with you all the time. It's just when you know you want to meet these characters, get them all signed. And then you have this wonderful keepsake that costs you nothing extra than what you bought it for and brought it home. Get the photo, put whatever you want in there, and you have it, put it on your wall, and it's a great piece of remembrance from your cruise.
For sure. No, that is great. And like you said, we did realize, boy, we should have considered that this time. And one of the things you can also do, even in advance to plan for it, is if you want to splurge and get it's easy if you bring the Sharpies with you for the characters to use, because sometimes they have just a pen and it might not be as bold as you want on this matting or item that you're using. So bringing Sharpies is helpful, but maybe get multiple colors of Sharpies and have the kids decide what color is going to be associated with which character. Like what color Sharpie do you want Pluto to use, or do you want Belle to use, and things like that. And then your matting even has more color to it.
Yep. And they're always willing to sign every one of them. That includes the Marvel characters. Always willing to sign. Even Groot, I think, signed some stuff. So
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, I am Groot, you know, but it's there. So, you know, just know that going in that you can get tons and tons of these, and it's
good
just,
point.
It's really fun, and it adds something to it, and it gets the kids excited too, because they're like, oh, I can't wait to get this signed by this character or that character. And again, if you just want to bring an autograph book, those are great too.
Yes.
But if you want something you can hang on your wall and remember, something like that would be really, really nice as
well.
For
sure.
That's it for this week's show. Next week, well, we're going to take a look at one of the key pieces that make Disney attractions spectacular. And they go back all the way to the 60s, even better today. We're talking about animatronics. We're going to do some looking back at animatronics. Michelle seems surprised by this.
No, I was trying to remember.
It was her topic that she put in the calendar.
I put that on that calendar a long time ago.
So Michelle is going to do a little bit of her wonderful, always amazing research, of course. And we're going to delve into animatronics. I'm sure we're going to go back to some of the beginning ones and where we are today and some of the phenomenal ones we're seeing now that are insane.
Right. Some of the ones that we were just kind of alluding to from Shanghai.
Yeah.
Because they are using some of the most high technology in audio animatronics.
So we're going to get to hear a little bit about the development of audio animatronics within Disney parks. And, you know, Michelle does the best research. So this will be an episode you won't want to miss. That's for sure.
Oh, well, thank you, honey.
As for this week's show, we appreciate that you joined us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we're on social media. We're on Twitter @HyperionPodcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads @HyperionAdventuresPodcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventurers Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like this podcast and want to help support it, we invite you to become a Patreon. There are plans starting as low as $2 a month.
Yep. And we appreciate all our Patreon members that have already signed up. And, you know, look, another great way to support this show is just tell a friend.
That's
just
right.
Tell a friend that this show exists. And I want to mention this because we had a listener, actually, I believe he's a new listener now, just signed on because of our recent episode, the Disneyland episode with Kenan and Rachel. His name is Chris Maza. But he listened to the episode and he actually pointed out our mission statement to a T. I've said it several times on this show, and I was so happy that we're coming across that he picked that out, that he said that basically we were the oasis of positivity within a world of negativity. And that's exactly what we want to be. So please, thank you, Chris. Thank you for listening. Thank you for saying really wonderful things. But also, please tell friends that if they're looking for something to kind of break away from the negativity that exists so much in this world,
right,
we would like to be that oasis of positivity.
Yes, and that's why we also love to share what positivity and what fun things are happening in your lives.
Yes. So thank you for all of you who listen to the Hyperion Adventures podcast. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures podcast. We look forward to sharing some time with you again next week. Until that time, I'm Tom.
I'm Michelle.
And we hope that you have a magical week.
Bye.